Father, what a joy it is to be here on this property. People who had foresight in order to purchase this property, and now, Father, the construction. We're praying that that may go forward expeditiously and that we may soon meet in a building on this very property.
Amen.
Lord, you have blessed us in many ways, and it is our daily prayer to be a blessing to you. I pray, Father, that the words of our mouth, the meditations of our heart, would be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Guide us now, Father, as we look at your word. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
You notice the sermon title, No More. Enough. That's it. It's finished. Jesus came to change things, didn't he? He was a reactionary. He wanted to get us back to God. He was coming to take on a system that had started to move people away from God. In fact, they started to move farther and farther away from him. They even came to the point where they were ready to crucify the very Son of God. In fact, they pulled it off. And the last words that he made from the cross were, "It is finished. No more." Christ changed things and made it different for us today. And we're very blessed to be there and have that happen. And so Isaac Watts, who was born back in the 17th century, wrote a song early in his career, back in the 1600s. And that song is a Christmas carol. You know of it. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. But it's verse 3 I want to call your attention to. It says this, No more let sin and sorrow grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessing flow, for as the curse is found. No more. That's what we're going to talk about today. There are some things that Jesus Christ came and made it possible for us to say, no more. And do we want to see what the book of Hebrews has to say about that? So, it's time. Are you ready? I'm going to read the black. You read the blue. And when it comes to the blue part, I'm going to be quiet. So guess what?
Shall we start?
Okay, 1, 2, 3.
Every grace stands the same in history.
And offering time after time the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. But he having offered
one sacrifice for sins for all time,
sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time onward until his enemies may be made a footstool for his feet. For by the one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. And
the Holy Spirit
also testifies to us, for after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord.
I will put new laws upon their heart and on their mind.
I will write them, he then says, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where?
There is forgiveness of these things.
There is no longer any offering for sin. Isn't that an exciting passage? Think about our Lord and Savior, the last words that he spoke from the cross. First he said, I thirst. And they brought him gall and put it up to his lips. After that, it says that he bowed his head and he said, Tetelestai. That's Greek. Perfect tense. It is finished. Perfect tense, what does that mean? It has been finished with continuing results. You know, I've been with people that have been very excited about having their mortgage paid off. And they keep track. I was doing some work for one couple. They said, we only owe 10 more mortgage payments and our house will be ours. And that was a pretty exciting time. Yeah. I think I was even doing work with them and they paid that 10th one. Their mortgage was paid off and the bank no longer had claim for them. They could say, Tetelestai, it has been finished. And the bank no longer had a call for anything financial from them. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, he uttered those very words, it is finished. There is no other payment that needs to be made. Jesus paid it all.
Amen.
We talked about that last week. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. but he washed it white as snow. Yeah. Jesus Christ paid the price for us, and he changed the very worship that we give to God. It is finished. So there's four things from this passage that say, the author of Hebrews says, this is things that Christ has finished. Number one, no more priests offering sacrifice for sin. No more. So Old Testament, what was the system that was set up? Well, the system was that every time there'd have to be a priest that would come and offer an animal sacrifice in order to pay for the sin that you committed. It didn't seem like a very fair system for the animal, but it was what God demanded. He said there must be an innocent price paid for this sin. Now, when that animal was offered, it did not wash away the sin. It simply covered over the sin. It said, we're going to deal with this later, but for right now, it's the animal that is taking your place. And that was what it was, animal sacrifices. And just in case the year had gone by and there were some things that you had missed. Are you ever finding yourself like that? I should have probably confessed a few other things, other than the things I brought up yesterday. But the Lord knows, and he says that if you will confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So the Lord even makes a way for us today to make sure that our sins are covered and our unrighteousness is taken care of. But in the Old Testament, it was the priest. Every time you sinned, you took an animal to him and said, man, I did this horrible thing, and this animal is going to die for me. And it just covered over your sin. But once a year, the priest, on the day of Yom Kippur, the day of covering, he would take a sacrifice. Do I need to turn myself on? You guys are probably having a hard time hearing me.
No, not at all. Never.
Wait now. All right, thanks, Denny.
It needs to be on the website.
Sorry, everybody.
All right, 1, 2, 3, are we ready? No. I think I left off with Yom Kippur.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
Oh, that does sound different. I sound more manly now.
I'll fix that.
Are we ready? Yom Kippur, one time a year, just in case there was something that you did that you hadn't brought a sacrifice for, the high priest took a bull, a goat, and he let a goat go also. And he would take him in and he would offer the sacrifice and take the blood into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle it. And with that, God says, I will cover over all the rest of the sins that have been committed. Wow, we needed a priest on a daily basis. We needed a high priest on a yearly basis. And Jesus Christ is our high priest.
Amen.
But what does the New Testament say? Well, the New Testament says that you are a holy nation. You are priests to proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into marvelous light. Don't you like that? Jesus Christ did something for us. And no longer do we have to go to another person to be our priest. All right? Some religions practice that. Man, you go to that guy, you confess your sins, you have to go in there and tell him all the things that you've done because he's your priest. It's not what the New Testament teaches. The New Testament teaches that you can now be your own priest. Because of the high priest work of Jesus Christ, who paid the price for all your sin, you can now go confess your sins to Christ and go directly to God. That's the new system. There was a time when we used to go out, and we weren't a real rich family, so if the tires went bad on our car, we'd go out and get retreads. I don't know if any of you have ever dealt with retreads. But they tell you, these retreads will last about 5,000 miles. And then they're going to fall apart. Sometimes it just literally flew apart on the highways. Or you could get new tires. We'll recommend that these things are going to last for 40,000 miles. Maybe even longer than that. The choice is yours. You want retreads, or do you want the real thing? Jesus Christ gives us the real thing. Not something that's going to last for 1 year, Not something that's going to be temporary and now you're going to have to go to a high priest and do something different. Jesus Christ made a way for you to go directly to God, confess your sins, and to have them forgiven, not covered over, but washed away for all eternity. No more priests offering sacrifices. You go to Christ directly and deal with him because of his sacrifice.
Yeah.
Number two, no more mankind inflicting suffering on the Savior. You know, when you think back about who Jesus is, he is our creator, he is our sustainer. Apart from him, all things would fly apart. In addition to that, he paid the price for our sins. He died in our place. When you think about what he did for us, how could somebody be so unkind and be so obstinate to say, I'm going to take him and persecute him, beat him up, put him on a cross, I don't want him around. That's exactly what happened in the first century. And Jesus took an amazing amount of suffering and pain. There's a word in theology, we call it propitiation. It's a biblical word. It simply means that Jesus Christ took our pain and our suffering for us. He did that for us. And when Jesus died, he went through a great deal of suffering. In fact, in the book of Isaiah, this really tells about what Jesus did for us. I think about the song that says, Man of Sorrows, what a name. For something about a God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Somebody had the words, I forgot them.
For the Son of God.
For the Son of God who came. Man of Sorrows, though, listen to what Isaiah says. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hid their face. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastising of our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall upon him. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. He did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, like a sheep that is silent before his shears, he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he had been cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people, to whom the stroke was due. His grave was assigned with wicked men, yet he was with rich men in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth, and yet he was a man of sorrows, persecuted, ridden, crucified, no more. Hebrews, going back to Hebrews 2, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time onward until his enemies be made a footstool. Christ has suffered. He's done. Any hatred that people have towards the Savior now is going to be upon them and not upon Christ. You will pay for what you believe and what you do about this Savior. But he was mistreated and abused for your sake and mine. He lived a persecuted life. But no more infliction upon the Savior. Third thing in this passage, no more living with guilt of unforgiven sin. Got that one? I don't know if you've ever met anybody that's been ridden with guilt. You know, they say, oh, you don't know what I did. And maybe it was something really horrible. You don't know what I did. Or they just carry this guilt in their heart that how could God possibly forgive me? Sure, he can forgive those people that tell a lie or steal something, but how can he forgive me for all that I've done? And the truth of the matter is God made it possible for you, regardless of what you've done, to live without guilt. You know, I'm reminded in 1 Corinthians 6 that neither adulterers or fornicators or effeminate or homosexuals or people who abuse themselves with mankind or robbers or revilers have a place in the kingdom of God. You're not going to make it. And the apostle says, and such were some of you. But now you've been washed and you've been saved. I don't care what you've done. The Lord Jesus Christ is bigger than your sin. Regardless of how horrid it is. And you can carry that around in your heart. Or you can say exactly what it says here. Lord Jesus Christ died for my sin. And their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. That's the promise of God. I like what it says in the book of Isaiah. Micah. Where it talks about casting your sins into the depths of the ocean. And somebody said, and God puts there a no fishing sign. Experience the forgiveness of God. Because it says here, because of what Jesus Christ has done for you,
yes,
you can live without guilt. You can live with the guilt, without the guilt of unforgiveness. There is nothing you could have done that Christ can't forgive you. There's only one thing that happens at the end of life. If you have not received Christ as your payment for sin, you will be held accountable yourself. You must receive Christ who died in your place, who suffered for you, and receive his forgiveness. And if you do, there's now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. One last thing. No more penance for sin. You can't add to what Christ has done for you. Once again, there's some religions that teach, boy, you've done this sin, well, now you need to go out and say these all our fathers and these Hail Marys, and men, you got to atone for your own sin. You got to pay the price. There is no penance that you can offer that is going to please God. Jesus Christ offered the penance for you. I'm reminded of a church historian, a guy named Origen. Very well-known theologian. And when in his adult life, he chose to continually sleep on a stone floor. No mattress. No soft chair. He slept on a cold stone floor because he wanted to fully atone for his sins. If that sounds crazy to you, sounds crazy to me. But there was another church father, a guy named Martin Luther. Some of you are familiar with him. Not only did he start the Lutheran church, he's called the father of the Reformation. What did Martin Luther do? He kind of followed Origen. He slept, this is in the cold German climate. He was in a castle. He slept on a cold stone floor. But this is the difference between him and Origen. He allowed himself one blanket when he slept on the floor. And he was also in the middle of winter, going up the steps of the Wittenberg Chapel, stair after stair. I can't remember how many there were, but there was like a dozen of them. On his knees in the snow. Why? To give penance for his sin. Man, if Martin Luther did that, if Origen did that, what are we going to do? We have to do nothing. Because Jesus Christ paid the price. He paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. There's no penance. There's nothing I can do that will bring me closer to God for forgiveness. There's only one thing. It is in Jesus Christ our Lord. If you have done anything in the past anything that's haunting you, anything that you say, how could God possibly forgive me? God can forgive you. And not only that, he does not expect penance from you. And not only that, you don't have to go to a priest. You only have to do one thing, and that is receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know, he is the only sufficient, adequate payment. The soul that sins must die. Jesus Christ died in our place. You can't atone for your own sin. You've got to come to God just as you are. We sing that song, "Just As I Am, Without One Plea, But That Thy Blood Is Shed For Me, And That You Bid Me Come To Thee, O Lamb of God, I Come, I Come." That's it, my friends. No more. No more priests offering sacrifice. No more inflicting suffering on the Savior he's already done. No more living with the guilt of unforgiveness. And no more seeking penance for the things that you've done. Come to Jesus Christ, just as you are, and receive his forgiveness. Receive his cleansing. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, it's because our sin is so great that sometimes we turn away from you. Or sometimes it's we think our sin is so slight that we turn away from you. But Father, we live with the recognition that the only sin that will keep us out of heaven is rejecting Jesus Christ. As the song says, "Jesus, I come to thee." Lord, change our hearts, change our lives. Help us to live this godly life that you have shown us. But we depend upon you and your sacrifice totally. We receive you and your payment. Lord, come into our hearts and change us and make us the kind of people you want us to be. We ask in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.